item number 4.
Presentation by the Public Policy Forum discussing their June 2012 report, Milwaukee's Protective Payee Program, evaluating its performance and role in a larger case management system. Information only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Hankin. Welcome back.
Good morning.
All right. Would everybody at the table please introduce themselves for the committee's sake and also for the people who may be joining us via podcast.
My name is Rob Hankin. I'm the president of the Public Policy Forum.
I'm Joe Peterangelo, a researcher with the Public Policy Forum.
Joseph Bolt from Green Bay Advocate, the CEO.
Ken Schmidt, the executive director at Hope House in Milwaukee.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us, Madam Chair and members of the committee. It's very good to be back before you. What we are going to lay out for you very briefly are the highlights from a report that the Public Policy Forum produced and released on its website the last week of June regarding Milwaukee's Protective Payee Program. So what I would like to do is run through about a dozen slides which highlight the key points of the report, and then, of course, any of us will be happy to answer any questions. The background here is that for those of you who are familiar with the Public Policy Forum, our mission is to conduct impartial, nonpartisan public policy research that's designed to enhance local government decision making. Program evaluation is not an endeavor in which we typically engage. We have done some program evaluation in the past, but it's really not something that is a core part of our mission and activities. In this case, however, when we were approached by Mr. Schmidt to ask whether we would be willing to conduct an independent third-party review of the outcomes and performance of the Protective Payee Program, we saw it not only as an opportunity to be able to provide some insight on what we consider to be a very unique and important program serving more than 200 needy individuals in our community annually, but we also saw a linkage with one of the key points that was made in the October 2010 Human Services Research Institute, otherwise known as HSRI report, regarding the redesign of the county's adult mental health system. And actually, that's misworded. The adult mental health system in Milwaukee County. That report was very careful to say that this was not about county government, but about the system, the delivery system in the county. Among the report's most important yet overlooked findings was that, quote, the current system of mental health case management needs to be changed so that more individuals can access case management services in conjunction with other community supports. So again, when we were asked by Mr. Schmidt to come in and look at this program, we saw it as an opportunity not only to provide some insight to him and to funders of the program and to policymakers, but also to, again, get at this question. How are mental health case management services being provided in this community? What is the role for programs like the Protective Payee Program versus several of the county case management and case management-related programs and other programs that are similar provided by other community agencies? So the first part of our report addresses the first question at hand, which is, what is the Protective Payee Program? Who is it serving? How is it serving them? And what is the effectiveness of the program? The Protective Payee Program is actually a somewhat unique program in Milwaukee County in that it combines both financial payee services with case management services to a population that is exclusively homeless. So because this is primarily a HUD-funded program, the target population does have to consist of people who meet the HUD definition of homeless when they enter the program. Obviously, there are other payee services in this community for individuals on social services disability income who have been deemed to need a payee, so this is not the only form of payee service. Obviously, there are other case management services, as we'll get into in just a second, in the community. Where this is somewhat unique is that every individual, again, meets the HUD definition of homeless. We have the blending of both case management and payee services, and that's what distinguishes this program. In terms of the population served, this slide lays out who the program is serving. The vast majority of individuals of the more than 200 individuals who were being served by the program in 2011 had either a mental health diagnosis or a substance abuse issue or some combination thereof. So the figure was about More than 90% of the program, or 70, I'm blanking on that number, Joe, help me out. Here, I have it in front of me. The vast majority of individuals had it's in the report. So again, this gives you an idea of the service population. In terms of program participation, we took a look at the length of participation for people, again, who were enrolled in the Protective Payee Program. I should have mentioned at the get-go, there are three community agencies that are providing the case management and payee services under this program. You are seeing two representatives from two of those agencies here at the table. It is Hope House, Community Advocates, and also Salvation Army. So when we looked at the total population of about 210 individuals, these were individuals who were being served by those three agencies. As you can see, in terms of length of participation, there are a vast majority of individuals have been in the program more than 3 years. So these are individuals who enter the program homeless. They stay in the program. They're benefiting from the case management services, and as we'll see in a minute, they are staying out of homeless shelters. In terms of those who left the program, we took a look at individuals who, for whatever reason, left the program in 2009, 2010, 2011. As you can see on this slide, many of those who left the program still maintained their ability to be in rental housing. A smaller number left to live with family or friends. But for the most part, we are seeing those who are leaving the program leaving for good reasons and not necessarily for some of the quote-unquote bad reasons such as jail or prison. We took a look at the program budget. Obviously, the dollars are not the driver when we're taking a look at case management services in this community, but you know better than anyone that the dollars have to factor in. So we also took a look at how these programs are funded, where the dollars are going. As I mentioned earlier, what makes this somewhat unique when we think about the continuum of case management services is the linkage to HUD. Much of the program revenue coming from HUD, there's then a local match provided by the three agencies, that local match generated through a variety of different means. Philanthropic foundations is one important means. Mr. Scott Gelzer from the Faye Macbeth Foundation is in the audience. Faye Macbeth has been a supporter of this program and also had an interest in seeing. Another reason for this endeavor was to be able to say to private sector funders, how is this program working and is it meeting its objectives and outcomes? So again, this details the funding breakdown. Community Advocates of the three agencies is serving the most clients under the program. The next step in looking at the Protective Payee Program was looking at client outcomes. Now, what you see on this slide is the HUD outcome metric. So again, the emphasis, given that this is a HUD-funded program, is on the ability of the program to achieve objectives related to keeping homeless individuals out of homeless. So number one, are the participants, because of the case management and payee services, able to obtain permanent housing? In this case, the metric is within 60 days of program entry. Then are they, those who are remaining in the program, are they able to maintain their housing for at least 1 year? Other metrics are improved money management skills. There are case management plans established for each client of the program that also have to do with health outcomes and other non-housing related outcomes. You can see one in the last row there is were new participants seeing a primary care physician within 6 months of program entry. And I think by any objective measure, these are pretty impressive numbers. We did raise a little bit of concern in that, you know, from a HUD perspective, perhaps the ability to maintain housing for 1 year. Important to point out that when the agencies applied to HUD, the performance objective that they set for themselves was 80%, so they are clearly meeting that objective with flying colors. We're seeing a little bit of a downward trend from 2009 to 2011, so that needs to be watched. But I think the conclusion is that roughly 90% of the individuals who are being served by this program are obtaining permanent housing within 60 days of program entry and are remaining in that permanent housing for at least 1 year. You are not seeing it on this screen, but another key measure is recidivism, the extent to which program participants are ending up back in the shelter system. And there, too, we found that roughly 9/10 are, or I think it was 87% in this case, did not have further contact with the shelter system within a year or so of program entry. So to summarize what we found in terms of our analysis of the Protective Payee Program, and here's where we're linking it to the larger question, the question that BHD has been addressing in terms of mental health redesign, some of the questions that this committee has been grappling with. If you're trying to evaluate the success of this program in terms of recovery from mental illness and in terms of what would be standard mental health outcomes, it's difficult to do so. It's difficult to do so in that the agencies involved, really, because of the HUD-funded nature of the program, that's not their focus in terms of their outcomes metrics. So very important to point out that evaluating the success of the program from that perspective is difficult. However, from the perspective of, is this program succeeding in stabilizing housing for a very challenging population, homeless adults with mental illness, I think the data presents a case that indeed it is. And, of course, that in and of itself is a very worthwhile objective that is closely related to mental health recovery and other wellness-type objectives. So that is the summary of the first part of the report. Very briefly, and I'm not going to go through every word on this very complicated slide, but very briefly, our next step was then to give us some further context. Okay, we've looked at the Protective Payee Program. We've taken a look at how it is funded, the extent to which the funding streams dictate the objectives and outcomes related to the project. Where does this program fit in the overall continuum of case management and case management type services for homeless individuals and individuals with mental illness in this community? How's it different? How's it similar? And perhaps what should its role be as your department and others are pursuing this very big question of mental health redesign? So we took a look at a half dozen, including the Protective Payee Program, a half dozen case management or case management type programs that represent the most prominent of these types of programs that are currently taking place in our community. So the other five were the PATH program, which is run by Outreach Community Health Centers, formerly known as Healthcare for the Homeless. And then four programs that are either county-funded or administered or have in which the county has a prominent role, the Shelter Plus Care Program, Permanent Supportive Housing, and then, of course, the two hallmarks in terms of mental health case management, which are the county's Targeted Case Management and Community Support Programs. So what this grid outlines is just a very brief summary of these programs. What we were very interested in were intensity levels. Again, one of the findings of the HSRI report was that those who are getting into the county's TCM and CSP programs are receiving good service. But we also found that this isn't necessarily a but those who are getting in are staying in for relatively long periods of time. There's not a lot of turnover. And that those clients who have been in those programs for the longest periods of time, in many cases, are receiving the highest levels of service. Which begs the question, are there individuals who could benefit from lower intensity case management type services who perhaps are not able to access those services because the two county programs are more medium and high intensity? And again, there are limited slots available due to the very real funding resource limitations that you face. So it is not easy for individuals to gain access to those programs. So we laid out the characteristics of these programs. We laid out, in terms of permanent supportive housing, obviously one of the great success stories of this county in recent years is its efforts to ensure a very much enhanced supply of decent, safe, affordable housing for persons with mental illness. Interesting support model within the permanent supportive housing program in that clearly many of the individuals who are in permanent supportive housing are receiving case management through TCM or CSP, but there's also a large number who are not, who are receiving lower intensity services, either peer support services at the actual housing establishments or other types of low intensity services. We have the PATH program, which is actually reaching out into homeless shelters and into the homeless community and providing access to lower intensity case management services for individuals that, again, while we could not do in with our resources the rigorous evaluation of the outcomes, an interesting model. So we sort of compare and contrast these programs for the remainder of the report. The summary is that overall there's close to $14 million being spent annually on case management or case management type services for more than 3,000 individuals in Milwaukee County. BHD and its Mental Health Redesign Task Force may wish to use this information to consider whether these services collectively function to provide appropriate levels of community-based services that are really meeting the varied needs of individuals, and or whether there may be ways to more effectively deploy resources. One of the points we make in the report is Medicaid funding and the fact that when you look at the county TCM program on the one hand and the protective payee program on the other hand, from a naked perspective, the costs appear somewhat similar. The advantage for the county is that that's classified as a targeted case management program, so they're able to draw down Medicaid reimbursement. Right now, the protective payee program is relying on HUD resources and local resources. So there might there be a way to structure lower intensity case management programs to make them Medicaid eligible as well and perhaps even further lower the costs. These are questions we don't have the answers. We're raising the questions. And it is very gratifying to see, and we did not know in terms of the timing of our release of this report that at the very meeting that we would be laying this out, you will in a few minutes be hearing from BHD in terms of its effort to look at the community, the CRS program at the state level, which may indeed accomplish many of the things that we are suggesting need to be looked at here. A few closing observations that are in the report. The protective payee program, again, appears to be effective in stabilizing housing for homeless individuals with disabilities. Here's where it could serve as a model for other counties in Wisconsin. In other counties, there are indeed payee services being utilized. This is a unique program, which, again, is layering in the case management with the payee services. So as a homelessness prevention and payee type of approach, there may be merit for other counties to look at this model. Increased coordination between case management programs could make it possible to increase enrollment in the protective payee and Shelter Plus Care programs. One of the interesting developments that we note in the report is that Shelter Plus Care, which also is a HUD-funded program administered by the county's housing division, but with a very close linkage to BHD, that program has been unable to fill all available slots in many recent years because a requirement of entry into Shelter Plus Care is that there needs to be a formal case management component. Because of the county's limited dollars for case management, at times there have been Shelter Plus Care slots that have gone unfilled. More recently, the county has been working with these agencies to have people take advantage of Shelter Plus Care and having the case management come as part of the protective payee program. So an approach that is in its beginning stages, but again, could further coordination reveal other ways to further take advantage of the resources that are available by potentially using some other case management or case management type programs in the community. Again, the division stole our thunder in terms of this observation. We are suggesting that the Community Recovery Services Alternative Benefits Plan may offer a good opportunity for Milwaukee County to offer a new, less intensive level of support for certain Medicaid-eligible individuals. I know you'll be having further discussion on that later in your meeting. Another observation, don't want to repeat myself, but in light of the concerns that have been raised regarding the limited capacity and flexibility of TCM and CSP, again, do we need to look at somehow creating a way to open up space and develop innovative funding sources to provide lower intensity case management services? Finally, an important point that we don't want to get lost is that positive and stable relationships between clients and case managers, of course, are crucial to achieving the goal of any case management program, which is improved client well-being and recovery. An issue that I know has arisen before this committee and the Finance Committee when there have been discussions about who should be providing TCM and CSP services is the importance for individuals of having a case manager that they know and trust and like, and keeping that case manager even if the county is moving around the way it's administering these programs. One of the points that we think shouldn't be lost is that as the county and the Mental Health Redesign Task Force look at this continuum of case management programs, might there be creative ways to ensure that actual case managers can stay with clients as they move through these various different levels of the continuum of case management services. There are several complicating factors to that, including funding stream restrictions, but an important point that ideally we would find a way, as individuals are moving from high intensity to medium intensity to low intensity, to see whether staying with the same case manager, even if the funding stream is different, is a viable option. I will stop there. Certainly happy to answer any questions. Joe or Ken, I don't know if you wanted to add anything at this time.
Just want to mention that I want to thank the Fannie Macbeth Foundation, Scott Gelzer, and the board. They actually funded the study. The foundation has been a long-term supporter of Hope House's protected payee program. I also want to thank Joe and the Community Advocates Board. They run this as a collaborative. They could run all the dollars directly through their agency, but they see the value of collaboration. And so they run some dollars through Hope House and through Salvation Army. I believe a lot of collaboration. I think it's a place we have to go with limited funds. And we have to look at all our resources coming into this community and how we can maximize service to our residents in need. And this is the study is an excellent venue for showing how collaboration can work.
Madam Chair, members, just one comment. As you know, I still perform the functions as the lead agency for the Milwaukee Homeless COC. This program is one example of kind of what's happened over the last 5 years. And about 5 years ago, HUD decided that they were going to target vast, large resources towards what they called chronically homeless people. They determined, I think, rightly so, that as we know, there's about 10% of the population that eats up 80 to 90% of the resources, and those were folks who were single people who had primarily mental health issues. So what's happened over the last 5 years, and we certainly thank the county exec and the county board for putting the new $3 million into the 2012 budget, and those funds will be well used. But the kind of the quiet thing that's occurred over the last 5 or 6 years is there's probably $5 to $6 to $7 million worth of mental health resources that have come into Milwaukee County via HUD. The payee program is just one of those examples, and I think as the redesign process goes forward, I'm not sure that those HUD programs and the county-funded BHD programs necessarily even know that each other exist very well. And I think there's a lot of potential for both to learn from each other. So I think that this is just one example of this kind of alternative mental health system that has grown up around the shelters and people that provide services to homeless people.
Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Boland, please.
First, I want to say thank you for the presentation, and I want to thank you, gentlemen, and your agencies for what you have done. But first, Mr. Hinken, can you tell me what the HUD definition of homeless is?
That would be helpful since there's 5 or 6 definitions depending on what agency you're dealing with.
And this is a rapid, what is a seemingly simple question is not a simple question because HUD is constantly changing its definition of homeless. So I'm going to take a stab at it, but I don't know if Ken or Joe or Joe, do you want to take the stab at it? It is in the report, so I can try to find it. But essentially, it means that one of the key distinctions is to what extent if you are at a severe risk of homelessness, but you're not technically homeless, can you gain access to a program like this? And HUD has traditionally been stringent about that. That definition is being relaxed somewhat. I can't give you the specifics, but essentially, as far as HUD is concerned, you really cannot be in a stable home. You need to be either in a shelter system or to have actually lost your home to be considered homeless and to enroll in this type of a program.
Okay. Thank you. I would like to have a copy of that report.
It was
in hold on. That's why.
All of the committee members did receive that by email.
Yeah.
Thank you to Mr. Schmidt for that.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I read it. What I need to find out from you also, what you are trying to do, so I'm very clear, you are trying to find other resources to fund your program, and you want to use some piggyback off Milwaukee County to use some of their resources. Am I right? Because when you start merging, because when Mr. Hinken showed the program and he said there was 3 years, but it was actually 5 years that some repeat that they stayed in the program. Then he came back later and said the Milwaukee County, when they do their program, they be in it because they have a higher intensity and use more money that they can, in other words, diverge a little of our resources to these type of programs. It's about shuffling resources and do more collaboration, or just making sure you find more resources so you can fund your program off of Milwaukee County.
We believe that the PAYE program has the potential to be of great service to people that have mental health concerns in Milwaukee County. The current county CSP programs and the TCM programs do a wonderful job, and you should continue to fund them. I wouldn't be at all upset, Madam Chair, supervisors, if there was money allocated for this function in the next county budget, but my agency and Ken agency didn't get any of that money, but rather more agencies were brought in to the mix. This is purely an effort to try to make the case that this is a level of case management services that should be in the mix in terms of the Milwaukee County mix of case management services.
I just one point of clarification from the perspective of the Public Policy Forum. We are not suggesting, nor are we not suggesting, that this specific program be expanded as part of this continuum. Again, we looked at the program. We saw that in terms of the HUD objectives, it is meeting those objectives with flying colors. It is important to note that there is some disagreement in the mental health community as to whether payee services and case management services ought to be provided by the same agency. The point that we are making is that there does appear to be a need for a stronger continuum of case management services, particularly at the lower intensity side. This is a model that certainly should be looked at as one potential way to bring in that element. And furthermore, just from a cost perspective, the fact that their cost is essentially about the same as TCM on a per-client basis, but they are not getting Medicaid reimbursement because they are not deemed to be formally a form of targeted case management, suggests that there may be a way to stretch the same dollars to serve people at that end.
Madam Chair, Mr. Hinkins, you just stated my case that you are looking for other resources to make sure that they get this program going. I think you provide an excellent service. I think that we need to work together to see how it can work. But this has been a movement lately that every time we talk about Milwaukee County and what we do on their resources, but we try to filter the resources off to another program or another style of program or model. I think your model, what you are doing, you are serving the residents of Milwaukee County very well. And I think there can be collaboration, but we got to be honest, because when Mr. Hinkins brought up the little small squares that we really couldn't see, and that's the reason why I want to make sure I have a copy and compare them, because you did state with the bigger squares that I saw a number of things, and some people who've been homeless more than 5 years are still in your program. And when he made a statement earlier with the little small squares that we have some high-intensity program, some people are in it longer. But we got to figure out one way. Both programs have to figure how can we weed people off that. But I think you do a very neat within Milwaukee County and serve that population. And I hope we can work together. But the bottom line, it was siphoning funds away from Milwaukee County, or figure how you can, not from Milwaukee County, how you can tap into other resources. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to note, and thank you for the report. I think it's a lot of good information. What does, two questions. One, what does the training for, I guess, case managers look like, and does it differ between organizations? Is there consistency there as well, or what's the difference?
Well, each organization has a different style of operating. We use bachelor's level folks. We use some paraprofessionals at Hope House. We actually do a long-term ongoing investment in training our staff on case management. I have to tell you that the important part of the program is really the case management. It's going out in the home and making sure folks are doing well, making sure they're getting to appointments, they're shopping, they're doing well. Really, the making sure the bills are getting paid are very important, and there's a whole administrative piece to that. But it's truly the case management in the field that makes all the difference in the world.
I mean, I would just add one thing. I mean, it sounds very simple, but on the first of the month, every month, the rent gets paid. Mm-hmm. And you can talk about AOTA services, mental health services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but if the person doesn't have a home, all of those things become infinitely more hard to do. So having that rent check go out from our offices, there's certainly a whole lot of other things that our staff does, but sending out that rent check every month is probably the most important thing.
And my second question was around what would collaboration in this case look like to the policy forum?
I think Mr. Volt made a very good point about sort of we have the HUD-funded programs with the objectives primarily geared around homelessness prevention, and we have the mental health programs with SAMHSA dollars or Medicaid dollars geared toward mental health outcomes, and there's some coordination, but it's not really formalized. So I think collaboration would be, again, looking at that grid, and Supervisor Mayo is correct, looking at the details and thinking to oneself, this is what we have going right now. To what extent might these services be better coordinated? To what extent might there be an opportunity to better blend funding resources to serve more people? And to the extent that that possibility isn't available, what new types of services do we need to add to make that possible?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you guys for doing such great work in the community. I believe the definition of homelessness is lacking a place of residence for 30 days or less in a shelter or just in the street, in a park or something like that. But I wanted you guys to touch on in the report you talked about collaboration and you guys using the same form to conduct a service. I forget which one it was, but all you guys are using different forms, and the public policy recommended that a good recommendation would be consistency in the forms. So I don't know if you wanted to mention or talk about something like that. And also about the protected payee, do you guys also pay their wind energy bill and their food bill?
I'll let you answer the second question first, and then
okay.
I can
answer that first question.
We pay all utility bills. We pay the any ongoing bill that has to be paid every month. We make sure that there's money set aside for food, and also it's their money, so there's always their allowance money that they're able to spend on anything, and that's kind of the leftover money every month.
Okay.
In terms of the first question, and thank you, Supervisor, you've obviously read the report closely. One of the points that we did make in the evaluation of the program is that we have these three different agencies that from a broad level are all geared toward meeting the same set of metrics and outcomes. But on that other level of what's really important in terms of case management plan and how are we defining success in that regard, there are differences among the three agencies. So we did suggest that going forward, to the extent that a case is going to be made for a more enhanced role for this type of program in the larger continuum, it would be important for the three agencies who are part of the program to have a little bit better level of consistency in terms of measuring results.
Okay. And your success rate is pretty high. Would you contribute that to you guys helping them locate housing and you paying the rent? So, you know, a landlord receives his rent, you know, that's going to contribute to stable housing. So the 10 to 12% that is not stable or is out of housing, what do you contribute that to?
Well, Madam Chair, Supervisor, besides obviously, you know, having people stable because we pay their rent and utility bills, there is an amount of dollars that is left over that in most cases become a weekly stipend where the person comes in once a week to get their allowance, it's or whatever one wants to call it. That's a very good time for the case manager to see what's happening and have a conversation. So that's going on. As well, because that's going on every week, there's a certain bond that gets created between the case manager and the client. So this bond and the stability of the rent being paid and the light staying on and the heat staying on, all of those things, contribute to these folks being able to succeed and not have to go back to a shelter or be out on the streets.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Anything further from the committee? Okay, seeing nothing, thank you all
thank
very
you
much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the work that you're doing, for making me aware of this report and for the great job that you're doing. Oh, and I'm sorry, and if I could get you gentlemen also to fill out cards. Thank you very much. All right.